all across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your hosts for today's program, Dale Thronberry and Bob Gould.
And hello, America. This is Dale Thronberry, and welcome to Veterans Radio. Bob is off today, but we are being joined by our new partner in crime here at Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Dale.
Jim Fausson here. And that is Jim Fausson, the founder of Legal Help for Veterans, which is one of our major sponsors here on Veterans Radio now. And we want to welcome Jim because Jim's got a great program that he's put together. We're going to be talking about recreational activities for veterans and some other things with recreational therapists, some people that run a place called Camp Liberty, and we're going to be talking. It's going to be fun. We also want to make sure that people are realize that we are also sponsored by the big boy here in Ann Arbor, up on the intersection of U.S. 23 and Plymouth Road, Applebee's, your friendly neighborhood restaurant. And they to remind you that Applebee's provides a 30% discount in southeastern Michigan to veterans on Monday nights.
Military Monday.
Military Monday. And I know where I'm going to be tomorrow night, so make sure that you are there. And it's 10% any other time during the week. So make sure you go to Applebee's in the southeastern Michigan. Around the country, you'd have to check with your local Applebee's. We're not sure what their requirements are to get those discounts on there. So anyway, so we want to make sure that we say hello to America. And again, welcome you back to Veterans Radio. We today is the day, 2 days after the 70th anniversary of D-Day. And wow, what a whole bunch of great programs were on.
Oh, there were.
On television and the radio and in the newspapers. And just an amazing group of men and women 70 years ago. Many of our parents and grandparents were involved in that. And we want to thank them for what they did for us so that we are here today talking to you about their stories. It's a great opportunity for us to continue telling the stories of veterans. And we're going to keep going with the World War II men and women until they're all gone. And
unfortunately, time is passing on them. And the more you study it and learn about it, the more amazing that whole endeavor was.
Well, that whole endeavor and just that whole generation, the ups and downs that their lives went through from the 20s through the 30s and the 40s, it's amazing. I just wish that they had told us their stories, sooner. But they were too busy having a life.
That's right.
And that's what they do. But so there's a lot of activities, speaking of activities. And, Jim, I know you've got one coming up, or
sure.
Your wife does.
Sure. We've got one on Wednesday, June 11th, at the Yankee Air Museum. Carol Ann Fausson will be talking about various veteran benefits with the group. And if you'd like to come out to Belleville to the Yankee Air Museum, you can call in and RSVP. It's a free program at 734-740-8867.
That sounds like it's going to be fun. Oh, and we always like to promote the Yankee Air Museum. And if you get an opportunity to go out there, you'll be amazed. They have a really great museum out there. And now they have flight simulators that you can go in and pretend that you're in different types of airplanes and even helicopters. And I haven't done that yet. And the last time I was in a flight simulator for a helicopter, I flew off the edge of the world, according to my instructor. So I have to go out.
It's harder than it looks.
It is much harder than it looks. It's not an arcade game, and so that make sure that you go out to the Yankee Museum because Thunder Over Michigan is going to be coming up in August, and that's another great activity for people in southeastern Michigan to go out. The Thunderbirds, I believe it is, are going to be there this year because they finally got the funding back.
Let me give you one for Saturday, June 14th. This is one you can do from your chair at home. This is Smithsonian Channel is going to have a program on the Star-Spangled Banner story, Battle of America. So we've told them we'd put the word out about that program, and that'll be a interesting TV show to watch. Noting the 200th anniversary of America's national anthem.
That is true. And you can also go back into the Veterans Radio archives. And we did a program on Fort McHenry. I think it was they were talking about the Star-Spangled Banner. Oh, the flag. That's where it was. The flag that was flown that Francis Scott Key saw that, motivated him to write the Star-Spangled Banner. The other thing going on June 14th, of course, it is Flag Day. And we want to encourage everybody to go out, and if you don't have a flag, go out and get one and put it up on your house, put it up on a pole, wherever it is. If you put it up and it's at night, make sure it's lit up. and let everybody know how proud you are to be an American. It's a great opportunity for us to show our patriotism and to show that we do support this country. There's an activity going on also that is being sponsored by the Star-Spangled Banner Flag House, and they are putting on a program called The Flag I Carried. And what they're looking for is for veterans who carried flags with them during combat or while they were in the service, and they'd like you to contact them through the Flag I Carried project and to tell your story. And later on during the program, you're going to hear a PSA that talks about that. So those are the activities I've got.
I've got one more to give you, which is Honored American Veterans Afield is doing an essay writing contest for active duty and veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan eras through May, through the end of this month, to adopt a German short-haired pointer. We talked about it last week on the program, told them we'd promote it again, and you can find more out at www.amoland.com and look for the Adopt Fritz. The dog will be fully trained for you when you get it and ready to hunt.
Well, that would be
interesting program.
That'd be a lot of fun because that's always the hard part.
Yeah, exactly.
is to train him. All right, so we're going to be taking a break, and as I'm warning our control room, we're going to be taking a break and coming back with Jim Falzone and his first guest. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back after this.
I'm retired First Sergeant Matt Eversman. I served two combat tours, one in Somalia in 1993 and another in Iraq in 2006. I was one of the Rangers who participated in the battle that inspired the book and the movie Black Hawk Down. These are the flags I carried into battle. Please join me, fellow veterans, and all patriotic Americans at the Flag House on Flag Day, June 14th. As we raise veterans' flags at a special program to honor veterans, their families, and our country. Hashtag the flag I carried. If you are a veteran, please share your flag and your story on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and tag hashtag the flag I carried. For more information, visit www.flaghouse.org.
Welcome back to Veterans Radio. First up, we're going to talk about therapeutic recreation. I'm going to ask that Jason Duvall, Dr. Jason Duvall of the University of Michigan, say hello to our audience.
And, hello.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
I'm great.
And we're also we're going to have joining you at the same time Susan Elred, who's a certified recreation therapist, also on the line. Susan, how are you?
Hi.
Glad to have you on Veterans Radio. This is a topic that I think is sort of interesting because while many of us think going out and playing out in the outdoors is just sort of a fun thing to do, maybe an excuse to get out of doing work around the house, there is research which tells us, your experience which tells us, that outdoor experiences for veterans has a very therapeutic effect. And Jason, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the report that you issued last year and the work that you did on this subject.
Sure. So you're absolutely right. Spending time in nature is a way to get out of the house and maybe escape from other duties you have. But it also, some of the research that's come out has suggested that there really are some psychological benefits to spending time in nature. At this point, there's a good deal of empirical research that's been done kind of pointing to that in a variety of different areas, reductions in things like mood, also reductions in stress hormones, but also its ability to replenish mental resources that get fatigued over time. So some of the work that I and one of my colleagues here at U of M, Rachel Kaplan, were working on was a project with the Sierra Club Military Veterans and Families Initiative. They sponsored some research where they had about 75 veterans that went off on multi-day outdoor experiences. These are 4 to 6 day experiences with groups of 5 to 10 other veterans. And we took some psychological well-being measures before they went out on those experiences. And then we also measured them about a week after they got back. And then another measurement was done about a month later to see whether or not there were any kind of long-term benefits associated with those experiences. And one of the things, and by the way, we were very skeptical about whether or not...
An academic who's skeptical?
Absolutely. And mainly that was because the folks that were going out on these experiences, I mean, they had a lot of challenges. These were mainly recent veterans. Over 50% of them had indicated that they had struggled with mental health or physical health issues that interfered with their everyday functioning. So they had a lot of challenges going into the program. So to imagine that a 4 to 7 day outdoor wilderness experience was going to have an impact, a week later or even a month after the experience, we were a little bit cautious about that. But actually what we found is that really across the board, so we measured a bunch of different variables. So we measured their attentional functioning, their ability to focus. We measured their mood states, positive and negative mood states. We measured their social functioning, whether they felt isolated, alone. And we also measured their life outlook, so whether they felt hopeful about the future or how well they felt like they could cope with everyday challenges. We found that really across the board, at that 1 week after that experience, there were significant improvements. And that those significant improvements were most dramatic for the very veterans that reported to have the most struggles with mental health and physical health issues. Now those effects faded over the course of the next month, but there was still some indication that there was a lasting impact, which was very surprising to us.
In your research, Jason, which was conducted with your colleague at the University of Michigan, really did focus on veterans as the subjects of the research.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because
that's one of the things.
Because you had said that there had been other studies on the therapeutic effect of recreation, but not necessarily on veterans.
Yeah, there's a good deal of evidence looking at just general adult populations, and they have pretty consistent findings in terms of some of these psychological benefits. The studies that are done on veterans specifically, there are much fewer of those. There's really only a handful of those studies. So we don't really have a good handle on whether or not those results for the general population are representative of what you'd find in a veterans group. But fortunately, it looks like that's true.
Well, that's really had an opportunity to read the report. It's very fascinating. It's a typical research paper with more graphs and charts and things than I can actually understand. But I suspect Susan Elred, with your master's degree in therapeutic recreation from Indiana University in 2011 and working in the field with a variety of different populations, of folks, including veterans, that this is maybe earth-shaking to me, not all that earth-shaking to you. How have your experiences been with working with veterans in therapeutic outdoor recreation activities?
Yeah, that's not really earth-shaking to me. I've seen a lot of veterans go through outdoor programming, and it depends kind of what they're seeking, whether it be like a challenge or something that brings them back to their peacefulness. But either way, outdoor programs and nature brings that all to you, whatever you're seeking. I've seen a lot of veterans come in mostly consumed with isolation and avoiding society and kind of just sticking to their home life and to their families. What they don't realize is that if they don't get out in nature or get out and do their outdoor activities, that they are not really helping their family because they're not helping themselves first, and they're not their best selves unless they can do things that they enjoy. and I've seen nature bring them back to things that they enjoy.
Susan, do you think it is the being out and doing group activities, or is it more than that? It's being outside and hunting or fishing or hiking or climbing. Is it the nature part or the group part?
I think it's both. I think you need to provide the nature part and provide the activities, but a lot of what recreational therapy focuses on is also providing that space to reflect on those activities and how or what those activities do for your life. What does that mean? You accomplish this. What does that mean in your life? That you can accomplish other tasks that maybe you didn't think you could accomplish.
And Jason, did your research find that it's more about the group or more about the nature?
Well, I think Susan's raising some really great points. I think it's a combination, right? So the nature certainly makes a difference. We know that people who spend time in nature have better attentional functioning. They can focus more effectively. It also tends to promote reflection. So one of the interesting things about the brain is that pleasure and pain are cross-inhibitory. So when you're experiencing pleasure, it's harder to experience pain. And typically, people experience natural environments as mildly positive, right? They're kind of pleasurable. So it's easier, the theory is that it's easier to think about difficult things when you're in a natural environment.
So
that plays a role. But I think in addition to that, there's something special that's also about the experience itself. So the fact that in our study, the fact that these were extended outdoor wilderness experiences. They generally were challenging. They had a sort of a goal component to them, which I think appeals to some veterans. And there's something, in our case, because of the group experience, there's something important, I think, about spending time with other people who understand you and understand your where you've been and your story. They can relate to you more easily. And actually, one of the things we measured was how often people engage in certain activities as a result after that outdoor experience. And some of the activities that came up as being more highly participated in after that were activities that involved listening and helping others.
Well, let me ask this, Susan. Maybe in your work at Eisenhower Center, you can tell us a little bit about the center and its involvement with veterans and the sort of recreational activities that you've seen work well to bring those things out, the reflection out and the help out that you and Jason are talking about.
So in Eisenhower, we provide services to veterans and other people with brain injuries. And one thing specifically that we're doing with veterans right now is we take them out and we do some of the individual experiences, but then we also bring them back into a group atmosphere and we process what does recreation mean to you, what is its importance in your life, what was your recreation before you went to the war or before you had a brain injury, and what is your recreation now, and why is there a difference, and how can we help change your recreation for the future and help increase your happiness in life because of it.
And based on those experiences, have you run into veterans where you can say, boy, this guy really went from here to there and it made a big difference?
Oh, yeah. I can think of one right now that pretty much came back and isolated himself after war and had a lot of lack of satisfaction within his family because he felt like he had to always be there to support his family, but he didn't realize that he needed to be himself again. He needed to get out and do things he loved so that he could be happier when he was at home and more able to help out his family.
And Jason, when you had this group of veterans out for your study, I know you followed up with them a week later, a month later. Again, did you have examples of individuals who really the impact was pretty amazing on?
We did collect some qualitative information from veterans, and the folks that responded to those kinds of things were very positive in terms of their experience. And they were also very grateful to have the opportunity not just to be outdoors, but to be outdoors with other veterans and to be able to to talk to other veterans about maybe issues that they were dealing with, help them from their own experience. I think that just that opportunity to be able to connect with others was, for many of them, a very satisfying experience.
And have you had an opportunity, Susan, to go out with any of the guys on any specific types of activities that you could tell they were having a blast with?
Yeah, I found one specific was fishing. I think all my veterans have really loved fishing. I think it's something that there's a little bit of sense of adventure within getting this big fish, but there's also a calmness of just sitting there and putting the reel in and waiting for a fish to come and just looking around and enjoying the beauty of nature. I think fishing and anything on the water is really calming.
In the what type of activities did you take the folks through, Jason?
Well, the groups we worked with, they did a variety of activities, canoeing, kayaking, some were hiking, fly fishing. There was, I believe, some groups that went and did rock climbing. So there was really a wide variety of activities, which is nice because, although I like fishing too, there are lots of things that you could do that seem like they produce these positive
results. Well, I think that's really the... hopefully the point that our listeners can take away from this, that it is really a variety of activities outdoors with the veterans that can have a real positive impact. And there are a lot of groups that help in this area from, and we're going to talk to a couple in the next segment, but there's also various folks like Flying Heroes, which takes veterans out to do fly fishing. And it sounds like that fishing and being on the water would be something that both of you would recommend.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. And I would also say that it doesn't necessarily have to be, a faraway excursion. It can be just spending some time outdoors, you know, nearby your home. There are lots of varieties of nature, so... it's great to be able to do these recreational experiences, but even more modest nature, I think, could have benefits.
Now, your work was over a longer period of time. Folks were out for four or 6 days, I believe, Jason. But Susan, are your programs much shorter when you're working with them, out for the day or out for a couple of days?
Yeah, we have shorter ones for, like, different day activities, but... we've had veterans up to 45 days, so we do different things. Like we can take them dish golfing or fishing or camping or doing whatever throughout the 45 days.
Wow, that's quite an endeavor to be out for 45 days. Again, we appreciate that the work that you're doing there. We wanted to get this information out to our listeners. How can they get more information about your programs at Eisenhower, Susan?
Probably the easiest way is to go on www.eisenhowercenter.com or just search Eisenhower Center on Google. And we are located in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
That's great. Thank you. And, Jason, I know you're a professor at the University of Michigan, but maybe you want to give a plug out for those who helped sponsor this research.
Sure. So the research was sponsored by the Sierra Club Foundation and the Sierra Club Military Veterans, Military Families and Veterans Initiative. They do wonderful work. And I would also say that anybody who's interested in the research, we do have a journal article that's going to be published in the next few months in the Journal of Rehabilitation Research and Development. That's the official journal of the VA, and it is an open access journal.
Oh, great.
So anyone can have access to that article.
Well, we appreciate both of you making yourself available on a Sunday afternoon to talk to our listeners. And those of you who would like to call in the next segment, call 844-838-1600. And Jason and Susan, thank you for joining us. And we'll move on to our next guest in the next segment.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Walter Ehlers and his brother were in the first wave to hit Omaha Beach on D-Day. Details after this.
I'm retired First Sergeant Matt Everson. I was one of the Rangers who participated in the battle that inspired the book and the movie Black Hawk Down. These are the flags I carried into battle. Please join me, fellow veterans, and all patriotic Americans at the Flag House on Flag Day, June 14th. If you are a veteran, please share your flag and your story on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and tag hashtag the flag I carried. For more information, visit www.flaghouse.org.
Staff Sergeant Eller's brother was several hundred yards away on the beach, and they didn't see each other. Eller's unit ran into a decimated unit of Bangalore torpedo men and provided cover for them as they used their explosives to blow a hole in the German fortifications. This allowed an American breakout. On June 9th, Eller's platoon came under heavy fire. He climbed a hedgerow and called his men to follow. He spotted a German patrol and killed four of the enemy. Ordering his men to fix bayonets and firing from his hip, he destroyed a machine gun nest. He then attacked a second machine gun, killing three more. The platoon moved out the next morning and came under intense fire from both sides. The commander ordered a withdrawal. Ehlers realized that someone had to provide cover. He motioned his automatic rifleman to follow him, scrambled to the top of a mound of earth that provided a vantage point. They began firing on the Germans, drawing fire away from the rest of the platoon. Ehlers was hit in the back, but was able to kill the sniper that shot him. When his rifleman was wounded, Ehlers dragged him to safety. Ehlers was treated at a field station and insisted on returning to action. Unable to strap on a backpack, he strapped on two bandoliers of ammunition, picked up a rifle, and went to find his men. A month later, he was informed that his brother was killed on Omaha Beach. Ehlers was presented the Medal of Honor by Lieutenant General John Lee on December 19, 1944. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
He sat on the beach, looking out at the ocean.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and today's program is on recreational therapy, and the host is Jim Faucon. For those of you that are listening in the local Ann Arbor area, you can give us a call here at WAM Talk 1600 at 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600, or if you're listening to us on the Internet, you can call us at 844-838-1600. That's 844-838-1600. And back now with his next guest is Jim Faucon.
Great. Thank you, Dale. And we have on the line Rick Briggs. Rick, why don't you say hello to our listeners?
Jim, it's Dale, it's a pleasure to be on again, Veterans Radio, and appreciate the opportunity. Hello, everybody out there.
That's great. Let me do a little intro for you, Rick. Rick is a retired major. He's from the United States Air Force. He's currently the manager of Veterans Programs for the Brain Injury Association of Michigan. And if you've been around veteran affairs here in southeast Michigan, or really all of Michigan, you've probably met Rick somewhere along the road because he's been involved in a variety of things, including Operation Helmet, and has been involved with the State of Michigan Department of Natural Resources Disability Access. So that's Rick we're having on to talk about a couple of recreational therapy projects that he's in. And I also think I have on the line at this point Terry Blumberg. Terry, if you're on, and, let's say hello to the audience.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Terry. Great. I'm always amazed when it works. Terry is a Canton resident in my hometown, and Terry and his wife Janet have built Blum's Landing in memory of their son, Sergeant Trevor Blumberg, who was known by his fellow soldiers as Blum. Trevor, unfortunately, was killed in September of 2003 in Fallujah. And we're going to talk about something that Terry and Janet have done In his memory and in the spirit of helping out veterans in a minute called Blum's Landing. But I'm glad to have both of you guys on because you're working, helping veterans in this area of outdoor recreational activities for veterans and the therapeutic effect it has on it. And Rick, maybe I'll start with you and let you talk a little bit about some of the fishing endeavors that you've taken veterans on to assist them in that whole area.
Well, for the past 9 years, we've been conducting a lot of activities, everything from pheasant hunts and just outdoor sporting activities in general. We do a lot of fishing events. We helped Captain Bob Gutenhart get the tight lines for troops started up at Manistee. We just finished our fifth event up there 3 weeks ago. This past Saturday, we had the Tips Up for Troops. It's in the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, and that was our eighth annual event there. And the bottom line is we know that intuitively that outdoor recreation is has a huge impact on our combat troops dealing with issues, and the work that U of M did, it's always encouraging when you get research backing what you are seeing out where the rubber meets the road. And it's not just getting out and doing the recreation and saying thank you to these young men and women. It's actually tying them into the rehabilitation component. And, the five things that that they came up with, the U of M research, he alluded to the most critical one is their willingness to listen to others. Psychological well-being, willingness to listen to others, willingness to interact with others, getting out and exploring new things. Those are all benefits that their research indicated were benefactors with the vets. But the willingness to listen to others and to help others are the two things that we focus on most, because invisible wounds, PTSD, and traumatic brain injury are both treatable. And a lot of times these guys, they come back, they're not raising their hands, they're not indicating that they're dealing with issues. They don't want to talk about them. They don't want the family to know. They don't want their boss at work to know. And so they shut it in, and that's where we're getting our 22 suicides a day. And so what we do is we use the outdoor recreation to set them up in the proper mindset to listen to what we have to say, and so that they're more willing to go out and seek treatment, because they have to get the professional treatment in conjunction.
Hey, Rick, let me focus you back for a moment on tight lines and tip-ups, because I just want to give the listeners a sense of how many veterans you've been able to reach out with these programs, and maybe also you can talk about the fact that these guys who participate in this aren't the best fishermen in the world as veterans. That's why they have to listen and to others and sort of go into that mode that you're just talking about. But it's your numbers are pretty amazing.
Yeah, we just had 260 guys up at the Tight Lines for Troops in Manistee. About 75% of them were all first-timers. We had, I believe, 13 World War II vets this year. I think we had 16 this last year, and they span all the way up to the most current eras. And, at Tips Up for Troops, we had, I know there were over 50 vets at the event, and we had probably about 300 people total. A lot of civilians come out to show their appreciation and stuff. And it is the civilians that are setting the table for us, getting these young men and women, because we do have women in combat, and getting them out and trying something new. We had a young lady caught the first bass she's ever caught in her life, and she was so proud of it, a little 14-inch fish, but it sure made her day. And getting them to interact, and there's kind of a know, like, and trust factor that comes on with military culture. And that's why you see a lot of veterans don't talk to civilians about their combat-related issues and things. They don't even talk to their own families in many regards. And so it's real important. And, they talked about it, Susan and Jason, in the first part about you have two components at play. You got the outdoor, the recreation component, and then you got the group dynamic. And they really are intertwined. And we'll talk about it later, I'm sure, when we get to Camp Liberty, but that's why we're focusing so much on the environment component of that, to get them out, to get them relaxed, and get them into a proper mindset.
Well, that environment portion is a perfect segue, Terry, to talk with you a little bit about Blum's Landing, which is really a retreat, kind of a bread and bed and breakfast center. That's harder to say than you think, particularly on the air. For active and retired personnel, and tell us what your mission is there.
Well, ours is a little different from the standpoint of if we started this basically to service those young men and women that have fought in the war and terror, and that's where we limit it. And ours is more. We don't do any therapy. There is no therapy here at all. We're more oriented towards a sort of a family setting where even the single guys can come up because they eat breakfast with us. Sometimes they'll even eat lunch. We don't have any planned programs for them. We tell them about the high points and things that they can do. There's boats here for them to go fishing. We just got a handicap set up pontoon boat. My theory is that if they just are given some time without somebody trying to pry into their brain, without somebody telling them what to do today, just to be with their families and link back up again. And sometimes what we see here is amazing. Sometimes it's just, it isn't there. But a lot of times you can see the whole family just sort of slow down, take a breath, and when they leave, they're different.
And Terry, where is Blum's Landing?
I'm closer to the North Pole than I am to the equator, and this winter proved it. Now, we're up at Rogers City, near Rogers City. We're about 18 miles north of Rogers City, and we're only a couple miles from Lake Huron. We're on a small lake.
You've got about, 12 acres of land up there?
Acres,
and for those who don't know where Rogers City is, it's Mackinac City is maybe the closest big-name city, right?
Mm-hmm. We're about 40 minutes from Mackinac City. We just, this wasn't, we didn't plan to do therapy or anything like that. We never will. We made a promise to our son to take care of his guys, and this is the way we decided to do it.
And part of that was Trevor was a kid who loved the outdoors and loved being in the woods and being on the lakes and the rivers in northern Michigan. And,
yep.
And did that echo back to you, Terry, from your days coming home from Vietnam?
Well, yeah. When I came home, one of the things, I had my problems. I will not deny it. And I was lucky enough I found a therapist who sort of understood it. And he said, you got to go back in the woods. And what he did is he took me out in the woods, and I really let a lot of the anger out. I punched a couple of trees, which didn't hurt the tree, but I had a sore hand. And then after that, I found that going out there, fishing and hunting, just brought me down. If I had anxiety, if I had things going on in my head, I couldn't do anything about it on a lake or in the woods. I just had to accept it and work through it.
Well, I think it's certainly that your own personal experiences when faced with the death of your son and trying to make sense of it all sort of led you to Blum's Landing. And I know this is a volunteer effort. You're Blum's Landing's a 501c3, I believe.
It's a 501c3. Nobody gets paid a nickel here. If you come here to work and to help us out, we'll feed you, but that's as far as it goes.
Well, your wife's a sweetheart. Janet does wonderful work with you. And can you tell our audience maybe how they can find you on the Internet?
Yes. Just go to www.blumslanding.org and we'll get a message, and you'll get a reply from us within a day. We're booked up all the way through September. Unfortunately, we're having to turn guys away, families away. We're in the process of raising money to put in two handicapped cabins. And they can call us, but the response they get will be better and quicker if they just go through email.
Well, you're obviously doing something right with that many people realizing that they need that outdoor time. You might say it's not therapy, but obviously it is. And it's having some good. And again, that sort of brings us to Camp Liberty, which is another great outdoor program, but a little more focused on rehabilitation. And Rick, a little bigger operation. I think you've got about 137 acres. But why don't you tell us what Camp Liberty's mission is about and what it does?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I'm actually about 40 miles south of Rogers City. I'm up at my mother's right now in Alpena. And we also are an all-volunteer program, 100% volunteer, nobody paid. We have an amazing board of directors. And the main thing we're doing out there is we have 137 acres, 2,500 foot of river frontage on the River Raisin. We're located between Jackson and Ann Arbor down in the Irish Hills area, right between Manchester and Napoleon. And so we got some beautiful chunk of property. And we are tied in with the state of Michigan DNR. As you mentioned in the preview, I am the chair for the DNR's Accessibility Advisory Council. And we are tied into 4,500 acres of land there that they are committed to creating a five-year program, which will be the first of its kind in the country. And they have already started constructing some accessible habitat and blinds and so on to get some of our young men and women out, not just our veterans, but also our civilian populations that are chasing some health challenges there. And Camp Liberty has five of those action track chairs on the ground, and it's really wonderful. We're hoping to get them actually scattered around the state at some different locations with some of our rehabilitation providers for our public to use for free. And just like all our services, you know, they're going to be free and open to the public. You know, individuals, children, youth groups, faith groups, and so on, to come in. But our veterans are our primary mission.
Have you had have you had veterans out at this point, Rick? Have you seen what can be accomplished?
Yeah, right now the main focus has been developing the habitat, and we're just finishing up a two-year plan, getting all the wildlife habitat set exactly right. We're focusing on that first before we go building buildings. We're kind of doing it the reverse of what some people might think, but we think Mother Nature plays such a critical part that we're starting with that first. We've had guys out deer hunting, turkey hunting, coyote hunting, and some other activities like that. A lot of nature walking, photography, some fishing in the river and stuff. In fact, tomorrow they're going down the river, a whole group of them with some chainsaws and the DNR and some folks from the Wildlife Biology Department and so on. And they're going to be clearing out some of the fallen trees and so on so we can open up the kayaking on the river. The state of Michigan is going to be putting in a handicap accessible canoe and kayak launch for us downstream. And so we'll be able to canoe and float down the beautiful River Raisin. It's a very clean part of river up there.
One of the
Manchester.
Rick, one of the things I think you and Terry both have learned is as you see these needs and want to fulfill them, it takes a lot of partnerships with a lot of different groups who are interested in helping veterans and others get outdoors. And where can folks find Camp Liberty if they are listening and want to help out?
Well, they may hear it actually every day on the Tiger Network. You'll hear that the Mario's Minute is sponsored by Camp Liberty all summer long, thanks in great part to Eisenhower Center. But if they go to camp-liberty.org, camp-liberty.org on the Internet, they can listen to the NPR radio, Michigan radio, Frank Beckman show, and some of the different shows we've appeared on. And they can hear about Camp Liberty. They can go in and see our team. We have Brigadier General retired Carolyn Fasson on the team. She's the vice president, actually. My son, who just got back from Afghanistan and presented the flag with the family. I heard you, your program talking about flags that have been on combat missions overseas and stuff. And we've got the Safari Club International on board. We have seven different wildlife partners that are helping us with the habitat plan and wildlife plans, and just a wonderful. You're right. We had 63 volunteers out 3 weeks ago planting fruit trees all across the property. So there's a lot of work to be done, and there's a lot of fun that comes out with getting out in the group and working the land. And we got a family camping coming up here in In about 3 weeks, they can get that information right off of camp-liberty.org.
And, Terry, I know that your whole lodge complex was built by tradesmen and others who donated a lot of time and have partnerships help you accomplish this vision?
Well, we didn't have it didn't happen that way, unfortunately. We had it roughed in, and this was built with Trevor's death benefit. And after it was roughed in, I did the majority of the work myself, along with my church and some Vietnam veteran buddies that I had that would come up for 5 hours, spend 2 or 3 days, work their fanny off for me, and then have to go back. And sometimes the snow was pretty deep. And that's how this place was built. The only trades that we hired were the people that did the rough in and the foundation. Other than that, it was all done with myself and volunteers.
No, I think that's one part of the story. I'm glad you mentioned it. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but what you and Janet did was you took Trevor's death benefit and said, hey, this is how do we honor Trevor's memory and put that money into building Blum's Landing. So I think it's and I know throughout the process hasn't been easy. Your local township hasn't always been all that helpful. But
yeah, they are now. Things are coming around. Beginning to realize I wasn't kidding.
See, when you do good work, God's work like that, they sooner or later get with you. So that you persevered through it all, which I think is also a testament to your son. Can you tell us if you know how many folks you've had go through Blum's Landing since it's opened?
Well, we've only really, this is our second full season, so we're probably at around 60 families. That's ballparking it. We have had some cancellations because some of the kids, young guys that were coming up, had to go back in for surgery and stuff like that. And sometimes they had to notify us too short that we could get somebody else in.
And is there any charge, Terry, when they come up and spend some time?
We even, luckily enough, somebody gave us additional funds so if they're short on cash, we can help them with gas or whatever they need to get here. That was a fund set up by a race car driver. Let's just leave it at that. That was done, and then we just a few months ago, we were saying, okay, well, we got to do something about the boat situation here because when they come with 2 or 3 kids usually, maybe 4, and they all want to go fishing. And all we had was a bass boat, which when I got 5 or 6 people in the bass boat trying to fish was a disaster. So somebody ended up finding out about us, and now we have a pontoon boat that 8 people can go fishing. So, I mean, the Lord takes care of us. I just go along for the ride.
Well, that's part of why we wanted to highlight what you're doing at Blum's Landing here is because we do know that, it's doing great work on a shoestring, and maybe one of our listeners out there will go out to www.blumslanding.org and decide that this is the kind of mission that they can get behind. Rick, I think Camp Liberty is operating at a larger scale, and you've had a lot of both government partners, state partners, but also some corporate partners. Maybe you want to comment about the help that they've provided the veterans who participate out at Camp Liberty.
Well, it's really wonderful you say that. You know, I was past president after we founded it. My favorite saying at the board meeting was, we have a $0 budget on this because we really came in, very much like Blum's Landing. And, we had no funding for something. If we didn't get funds from an organization, whether it's the Iron Workers or, any of the Safari Club, International Pheasants Forever, these types of organizations that actually step up and say, hey, we'll fund this. You know, we have the Thrivent Lutheran Church program. We've had different churches, military moms programs have stepped up, General Motors. Some of these different groups have said, hey, what is it you need? I need a handicapped accessible deer blind. We'll sponsor that, put our, let it known that we'll take care of that and you don't have to worry about it. So a lot of those groups, because we have probably about 100 of them in total, are available on our website. The primary one of which you know, they wrote a nice number to get us off and running and buying the land right up front was Eisenhower Center. And they donated over $2 million in brain injury rehabilitation treatment at no charge to veterans that were not getting the care that they needed from the DOD or VA for whatever reason. It's wonderful when people like that just, they do it from the kindness of their heart, and faith-based programs and all that step up and help make it happen.
Well, I think it's pretty clear from both our guests who do study this issue and help in this issue that recreational therapy really does make a difference. And now we hear from both Rick and Terry that you know, it has an impact down at the individual and family level. Terry's got have veterans out there with a lot of family folks, so I think that's testament to the value here. What I want to do is thank both of you for what you're doing for veterans. It is a significant effort on your part. I've had a little bit of opportunity to work with both of your organizations as the pro bono lawyer helping set it up or fight the good fight on some issues for Terry. And we're glad to do that. We're really thrilled with the work that you've been doing out there helping our veterans.
Okay, Jim, great program. I want to thank Rick and Terry for being on Veterans Radio today. We're coming down to the bottom of the hour. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for being on the program. This is something that we need to publicize even more and more as we continue going forward. Next week, Bob Gould will be your host, and he's going to be talking with the author of Flying Flak Alley about combat pilots during World War II. Until then, you are dismissed.